A reading from the book of Genesis, Jacob at Bethel. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this place, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his deep sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Jacob went to sleep in Luz, fleeing from his fresh embezzlement of Esau's inheritance. He went to sleep in Luz, headed to his uncle Laban's to find a wife. Jacob's life was about eating and drinking, pleasing his mother, ranching, making a living, finding a wife, and having children. Jacob belonged to a tribe so small he had to marry his own cousins. And we'll talk about that in a minute. And yet he dreamed a ladder to God and woke in Bethel. He woke with a promise that his offspring would bless the entire earth. Jacob went to sleep a trickster with a rock in Luz and woke up on the altar of Bethel, the first fruits of God's promise to bless creation. Now, my grandmother Lydia, Charles's mother, married her sister's father-in-law, J.W., and they had five children together to add to their broods from before their widowhoods. Before Daddy was born, his older half-sister married a first cousin, and they moved to Wichita Falls. So we understand about small tribes. All of the offsprings from this this family are double related as siblings and uncles and aunts and cousins. And I mean and, not or. And it's all legal except that last one. That last one's not legal anymore. But it does require a Genesis-style family tree to decipher. I'm just saying that we all live in Luz with our cousins and our goats and our Toyotas. But there's also a ladder with God moving up and down, inviting us to live in Bethel. Last week, on Roof Butte Mountain in Navajo Nation, I ate lunch with Vanetta. Vanetta's story was of horse dreams and horse reunions, and hungering for God's word stuck right into the middle of a life working in a Walmart pharmacy. Vanetta had been driving from the hospital in Gallup to her home in Shiprock, worrying about her sick mother and her nearly empty gas tank, when the mountain beckoned her. So she veered off course and on to Bethel's Ladder, where she shared her sacred dreams with Margot Allen and me over lunch. As a therapist, I do a lot of work with mindfulness, living in the moment. And there's a whole self-help industry out there about mindfulness and living in the present. But the present is not all we have. Columbia professor and writer Heidi Julewicz reflects on why you shouldn't always try to live in the moment. She speaks of rumination of the past combined with dreaming of the future. Exiting the present in rumination allows us to connect with cause and effect, with responsibility and consequence, and I might add, with redemption. In 1998, after months of rumination, Alan and I resigned our positions, packed up the kids and the stuff to move to Tulia, Texas. My ruminations were about family reunions and quilting bees and the greasy smell of Uncle Barney's pickup truck. Alan had recently lost both his parents and was feeling orphaned. We were feeling a tug to belongingness, especially for our children's sakes. My parents were ready to retire and had decided to move back to the place they started from. And my sister Kathy was also ready for the adventure to move from Tennessee. Now, if you know our Tulia story, you know that we quickly traded in that family reunion quilting bee dream for another journey that put us in direct conflict with our extended family. Not to mention the district attorney and the sheriff and the judge and all the white folks in the county. We didn't like the smell of the paper's headline, "Tulia Streets Cleared of Garbage." So we organized a resistance to a local drug sting that had arrested fully half of the young black males in town. One rung leads to another. So we found ourselves climbing into different situations. Soon we started getting phone calls from across the state and from across the nation. So eventually we packed up again to move to the metro area closer to an airport. That's how we ended up here. But back to Tulia. Instead of the sweet, greasy smell of pickup trucks, it was the smell of fear as those truck lights came at us on our evening walks. That move did not lead to the reunion we planned, but it did lead to redemption. Instead of quilting bees, our home was filled every Sunday night with families of incarcerated folks singing freedom songs from the wheat fields of Egypt and the cotton fields of Mississippi. Every Sunday night, our living room was full of drug war orphans and their grannies, dancing, playing the tambourine, eating, reading letters from prison, and plotting liberation, while police cars drove up the street, taking down the license plate numbers. We named ourselves Friends of Justice and took numerous trips to Austin to march in the streets, to sing on the Capitol steps, and to lobby in the legislature. Family affairs, career fairs, and county fairs. That's the best of Luz stuff, and we got all that. But also a ladder, a God with us ladder, a standing on Bethel, house of God ladder. When the night meet the light, turn to day ladder. Jacob went to sleep on a rock in Luz, but woke up on an altar in Bethel. And he dreamed there was a ladder set on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord your God, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Now, I doubt that Jacob had much of a clue about the meaning of his dream. Just a rock baptized with oil and a place given a name before heading out. Maybe the meaning of the vision of God visiting him teased him now and then as he accumulated wealth, tried to appease his wives, and reconcile to his brother. But somehow we are left with this story, a story that invites us to druminate, to druminate about God's ladder leading to the Bethel ground already beneath us. In Christ there is no east or west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. No past, no present, no future, no male, no female, no them, no us. Living on God's ladder, there's no separation, only redemption. William Faulkner said, the past is not dead. It's not even past. Trauma research tells us this is true. Our bodies remember fear and respond to tiny clues of smell or sound in present tense, with fight or flight. Microbiology research tells us the cell is not reacting to an environment, but reacting with an environment, just as oxygen reacts with iron, and both are transformed. The angels are ascending and descending in eternal flow. The functions of every cell are happening continuously, continuously interacting and changing without beginning or end or middle. So in the presence of God, we can climb back to the past. Climbing with God into our past, we can experience redemption, reconciliation, reparation, redemption. The future changes the past changes the future, and in the process, we are transformed. Nearly a year ago, Alan and I started out on a pilgrimage heading west and north to revisit places of love and pain and humiliation. Sounds maudlin? 'Cause it is. And in that trip, we came face to face, or cell to cell, with experiences of transformation and redemption. We were surprised by love and faith greeting us, planted somehow unawares, by stories from the past that we had missed, but now became our new past. We were awed by transformations that we had preached and taught become concrete, but in hilariously ironic ways. More stories, another day. We were touched by the tenderness of grieving with friends who had been widowed in the interim. In fact, one of the main reasons we made the trip was to participate in a memorial for Alan's oldest friend. I started calling this new ladder adventure retrospective redemption. I've only written one of the stories, a dozen yet to write, but it all comes down to this. In painful stories told today, thy will be done in yesterday. In tenderness rejoined today, thy love bestowed on yesterday. In time, a never-ending stream, and joy like rain returned to flow, redeeming yesterday. And from that very personal perspective, I hear today's scriptures. And I invite you to join me on this ladder rumination. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as day. For darkness is as light to you. The psalmist sings it good. Mac Miller raps it good. When the night meet the light, turn to day. My favorite songwriter and best friend, Alan, sings it real good too. I can ride the wings of the morning. I can lurk in the shadows of night. I can make my bed in the pit of hell, but I can never outrun the light. If we, Broadway Baptist Church, descend Bethel's ladder to the day where Mr. John Thomas, Broadway's custodian and friend from 1924 through 1959, 35 years, hides in the baptistry because of our sin of segregation, and we turn and honor him in retrospect, dedicate the place to him in God's name as Bethel. If we climb through the past and down the ladder into the baptistry with Mr. Thomas, God is surely there, redeeming us, reconciling us to Mr. Thomas's descendants, repairing the gulf of segregation, restoring God's children to unity, and yes, redeeming creation in her groaning. This is Bethel ladder stuff. The ACT Council's History Task Force has attempted this foray into the past, holding on to the ladder of God's presence to identify more moments in need of retrospective redemption, and to identify moments where we can celebrate Bethel in retrospect. Broadway as the first fruits of God's redemption of our groaning creation in retrospect. The Bethel ladder moves us not only into our past, but into our present and future as we dream a new dream, craft a new mission that opens us to a broader beloved community where all are not only welcome, but all are cherished. This opens us to become the broader beloved community. And this is no Luz stuff for a Luz people. This is big, becoming the inheritance, becoming the children who are awaited by a groaning creation. This is Bethel ladder stuff. Broadway's children, our children, the little ones in the nursery, the ones squirming beside you, the ones who sit on these front pews every week. Our children are already the children of God that creation is groaning for. And we gratefully, joyfully, and with bated breath watch them bless all creation. What we pin in our mission statement and dream of being as church, already big Bethel ladder stuff, our children are already. They are already our inheritance, loving one another, cherishing their differences in unity, being first to greet new members. Have you seen it? Speaking for justice on the courthouse steps, marching for each other's lives in 100-degree heat, singing on the streets of Graceland and on the precipice of the Grand Canyon, teaching us how to be children of God. They are putting all their weight on God's ladder, and we have the honor of holding that ladder up, knowing that this is what creation is groaning for. This is our big thing. Our children are our big Bethel ladder creation redemption thing. As Broadway, sometimes we see ourselves, our life as a church body, in small struggles. We see ourselves as small actors in committees and meetings. We see ourselves as an outcast remnant who together love us some beautiful liturgy and organ, and that we do. But God is walking up and down the ladder, maybe even sliding up and down the pipes. Watch out. God invites us to step on those redemptive rungs, connecting our smallness with greatness, our Luz with Bethel, with Queendom of God, with Kingdom of God, with beloved community stuff. Big Bethel ladder stuff, like taking on the county to shelter the unsheltered. Big Bethel ladder stuff, like bringing in the Department of Justice to protect the prisoner. Big stuff like flying our flag of love and inclusion with the knowledge that God is with us and beckons us to step on this ladder with all our weight. We may sometimes forget Bethel and assume our feet are planted in Luz, in Tarrant County, in Texas. In weaker moments, we may presume that we belong to a nation with imaginary borders and not so imaginary weapons. But our weight is on Bethel's ladder. Our home is Bethel, God's house. The ladder in this Genesis story is not only Jacob's ladder. This is Broadway Baptist Church ladder. where God walks up and down, beckoning us to become and to bear up children of God, to bless all creation. Club 56 is at camp, so we're missing out acolytes today, but every week I catch my breath as our acolytes wait on each other, light their tapers, shoulder check their partner's progress, and together walk that light on out into the world. Every week I feel my weight on God's ladder as our pastor sends us out to be love. Always be love. Brothers and sisters, cousins and kin, we're living on the ladder, our weight in Bethel, and it is amazing in the sight of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all. Amen.